tempted your whole lives to try to find another way. You will face that all your lives, to be pulled away when everything's full of confusion, to try to find another way to solve all this. Jesus is saying, I am your God. You believe in God, believe in me. Take me at my word. I have promised to prepare this place for you. What you are experiencing is short-lived, and I will come again to take you to be with me.
We are a people that panic easy, are we not? Hi there, welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us back to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. We invite you to join us as we see the comfort that Jesus holds out for us, even in the most dire of circumstances. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon, today's broadcast.
Stop worrying. Don't fall into confusion. You are not to fall into panic when you fail. You are not the one shouldering this. He was taking that burden on himself. Now, as you study John and you begin to study John and you see what John is doing, you know that one of the great themes, anyone who spent any time in the Gospel of John, one of the great themes of John we'll see over and over, especially now as we continue to go through this, is the idea of substitutionary atonement. Jesus is stepping into our place. Jesus is bearing what we cannot bear. And when you turn back to chapter 12, it would be easy to miss the connection with John chapter 14 that Jesus is doing, what he's doing, what is in his mind. You remember what he said in chapter 12? In verse 27, he said this, "Now my soul is troubled." Same word. "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour." As soon as he said the hour had come, his intense suffering in his soul, in his existence, soul existence, had begun. In his body and soul, as we say in the Heidelberg. The Gospel of John is showing us this. The Gospel of John is helping us to understand this, that every place where we fail, every place where we have walked, Jesus is stepping in to that very place, and he's bearing it, and he's carrying it. Imagine living with this the whole time that you live. Think about this. We say, we confess in the Heidelberg, you know, that his suffering didn't just begin in Gethsemane. His suffering began right at the incarnation, right from the beginning. We'll look at that here as we celebrate the birth of Christ. But you imagine living this, knowing the whole time that you come to this earth, you have a cross to bear, and the whole time knowing that you will be betrayed, the weight of carrying the sins of the world on your back, he has to do, carrying around next to you is a guy who has the money box, who's about to betray you, and he's stealing the whole time from you. How would you handle that? Silent. Silent. He was. Knowing that this hour is coming where he has to face paying for your sins and face in your place the wrath of God, the judgment that should fall on you, he has to bear all that. He has to become the curse and face the extreme agony of body and soul of the wrath of God being poured out on him. No one covered for him. No one really understood it at the time. Mary's the closest. No one said, "Let not your heart be troubled." No one came and did that. In fact, I think it was picked up last Sunday afternoon, he often face the burdens and the sorrows of the complete misunderstanding of his work. His soul was thrown into intense agitation. The horrors of the cross are beginning to be felt. Jesus is being shook to the very depths. He's entering Gethsemane. He descends into hell. The awful weight of bearing all of your sins that you so carelessly pursue. See why chapter 14 matters? "Now my soul's troubled, so I don't want your soul troubled. I'm not going through this for you to run around that way." He commanded their peace. He commanded that it would not be any longer, just like the calming of the storm. Jesus is standing over and calming their hearts. There is nothing in this life I want you so shook up over because it's not intended for you to bear. It's really kind of arrogant when we run around bearing it. I don't want you bearing it. The very work of Jesus was to carry your sorrows. Did you know that? To carry your burdens on his back. To take that all upon him. I mean, that's Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. So that when these things come, our souls would not be thrown into a state of intense agitation and panic, that we would not be shaken up or confused so as to forget what he came to do. See the connection. Christ says this, do not be troubled because he became that for us. That's what John is telling us. That's why John is telling us he's saying this. And it's not that when we face the hardships of life and we face sickness and burdens and sorrows, Jesus is saying, just be stoic through it. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that. He's teaching that the full implications of all the sorrows, the full weight of all the sorrows that we have in this life, he has already carried. And that's really important for going forward, isn't it? And that's why he gives an encouragement to the future here. He says, I am troubled, and now I got to go to hell to pay for your sins. So you don't be troubled because I'm coming you to take you to heaven. See the beauty of that? That's the perspective here. It's interesting what he says in the Greek. It's fascinating. Jesus says here, do not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The verb there, it means keep on believing. Keep on believing, which tells us that at times and in different seasons, it's going to be really difficult to believe. It's going to be really difficult to believe. There's going to be circumstances, just like the disciples are in, when it becomes really hard to believe because we can't see how God could be in control of this at all. But it's how Jesus calms them that's of real interest to me in John 14. I mean, really, it's how he does it that is of real interest to me. Jesus gives now a glimpse into the future, doesn't he? What he does is give them an encouragement of the absolute certainty of their future. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I don't want you troubled. Do not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. It's so beautiful, isn't it? The sorrows of this life are just temporary. They're very temporary. They're very short-lived. I know you don't feel like that, but it is the truth. They seem long. They seem unending. But they're just a short while. And I want you to know there's a place being prepared for you. There are many dwellings there, many dwelling places. I've always found this passage to be so comforting, but often misunderstood, really misunderstood, as if we're all going to heaven and getting our own little piece of land, right? That we can go do our own thing and ride our tractors. It's not what he's saying. There's a time coming when you will be before the face of God. And there's a lot of room there. There's a lot of room for you. You're not going to be kept away from me. There will be a time when you will no longer, listen, feel this for a minute. There will be a time when you will no longer and forever experience what you're struggling with now. There will never be a time, there will forever be a time coming when you will never be alone again. See their burden. We want to be with you. No, in my Father's house, there's all sorts of room. And you're going to dwell there. You're going to dwell there with your dwelling place. I've often thought, when Moses could not enter the land, And he stood out looking over the land, the burden of knowing that he had to die for his sin and that somebody else named Joshua would lead them in, right? Somebody else named Jesus would have to lead us in. When he comes to Psalm 90, he stands back and he says, Lord, you are our dwelling place. Throughout all the generations, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses realized he lost nothing not going into that land, for God is our land. You're my dwelling place. I've lost nothing. You're my dwelling place. This is what Jesus is saying here. You're our dwelling place. Notice how Jesus comforts them. Not only does he promise that there is more than enough room, for he is our dwelling place, and there's dwelling places in front of him, he's coming again. He will come again, and he will bring us there. That's the message of this. That's what he's saying to them there. And he says in verse 3, if I go and prepare this place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Did you catch that? He didn't say, I'm coming to bring you to your great mansion. I'm coming to bring you to me. I'm your mansion. I'm your home. I'm your house. I'm your land. You're going to be face to face before me forever. In other words, Peter, I know you want to be with me now, but I promise you, you will be forever. You see the beauty of that? Secured, sheltered. This is Psalm 91. Dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. Dwells in that lodge, into that dwelling place forever. I think this is what all the writers were talking about. The sun shall not strike you by day or the moon by night. Isaiah, say to the prisoners, come out. To those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways. On the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highway shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and from the west, these from the land of Cyrene. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult. O earth, break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people, and he will have compassion on the afflicted. You know, the great reward of glory for you. And this really kind of tests where we are today. The great reward you're going to get on that day is what the old theologians used to call the beatific vision. You're going to get to gaze your resurrected eyes on Jesus, and you will be with him forever. No more sin. No more sorrow. No more suffering. I think this is exactly what Paul was trying to encourage the Thessalonians with in all of their hardship as a church, in the times they lived, and all the bad teaching that was going around, and all the apostasy and the persecutions that they were facing, when he said, listen to me. Those who have died in the Lord, they're going to come with him when he returns. Their bodies are going to get up out of the ground, and then we who are alive are going to be changed. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And then he said this, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's John 14. So I want you to comfort one another with those words. You want ultimate comfort? Hold on to that thought through this. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's what we're going. That's what's going to happen. That's Psalm 27. Everything in the Bible is pushing us to this and saying, it's coming quick. It's coming quick. Now, the early Christians, I think, in the heart of their persecutions and struggles, lived for this. They were in such persecution for their faith and suffering for the cause of the gospel, they looked for something better. And I think that informs our prayers that should be prayed. Notice how much better the prayer sounds right now. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly, than it did a few years ago. You know? We can pray that with a little more earnest, can't we? You pray it? What does it take to get us praying that? come. That's what's ahead of you. Well, I like this world too much. What? You see, it sounds really stupid as this world spirals out of control, doesn't it? I was in the post office the other day, and I looked around, and I saw an older man. He could barely walk, cane, with a mask on. And then I looked at another mother who was totally distressed. And then I looked at someone who was out of their mind. All I saw was misery. If you just stand back from it and could take a picture and hold that picture out, what a sorrowful world we're in right now, full of misery and sorrow. Jesus says, put your eyes on the future. Let not your heart be troubled. I command your peace. And then Jesus says something so beautiful here. You know the way. You know the way. Thomas asks him a question. Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? It's such an important thing that's said here in verse 6, Jesus says in response. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I think we have an illustration of why he said that right after this. Philip says, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. Jesus says, have I been with you so long that you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say that? And then Jesus says to them in verse 11, which is the whole driving point of this, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Look at this beautiful truth here. Philip, in me you have the full and final revelation of God. I know it's going to be difficult in light of what's happening to believe, but this is what I want you to consider. Consider who has been sent to you. Consider the works themselves. Consider the goodness of God. Believe me. I think what he's saying in this section to close this out today is this. The greatest challenge in this life will simply to be not to be pulled away from me. The greatest challenge in this life will be to not be in the difficult circumstances and difficult times to be pulled away from me. You will be tempted your whole lives to try to find another way. You will face that all your lives, to be pulled away when everything's full of confusion, to try to find another way to solve all this. And I think that's why Thomas and Philip are asking here for unmediated access to God. Give us something that we can see that's better than this, to get us through this, to help us through this mess. Jesus is saying, I am your God. You believe in God, believe in me. Take me at my word. I have promised to prepare this place for you. What you are experiencing is short-lived, and I will come again to take you to be with me. And that's what I want to leave you with today. There's more to say on this point, but I'm going to leave us with that thought. When Polycarp in the first century was being offered up to the lions, imagine that? He was given a choice to save himself just by saying, Caesar is Lord. He looked at the lions, and the Lord gave him an incredible strength to not be troubled, because as he was heading to death, he said this, for 46 years, I have been Christ's slave, and he's done me no wrong. How could I blaspheme my king who has saved me? After a horrible moment, I can't imagine what it had been like as soon as he breathed his last to look and see the risen Christ stand up and receive him into the kingdom forever. Jesus is coming again. Hear me. He is. The world thinks that's a stupid thing, a crazy thing right now. He's going to come again, and they're going to, in shock, see that glory. He will take us to be with him forever. We will always be with the Lord. You understand that? And so today, the Lord commands your peace. You don't have to bear all this. You understand that? Too many Christians are trying to bear all this right now. You can't sleep at night because you're mad about a government. You can't sleep at night because you're troubled about this. And the reality is, you're trying to bear something you're not meant to bear. You don't have to bear it. You don't have to bear the troubles of this world. He has. He's bore your sins. He's carried your sorrows. And he commands you today. He commands your life now in his gracious words. Do not be troubled. Well, that's a path for the future, isn't it? And this is total hope for the future. Praise your God. That's who's come to you. That's who's delivered you. And that's the certain hope that you have in life and in death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for helping us through all of this. These are the words we needed to hear. It's sad that we bring much of the sorrows on ourselves because we're bearing things we were never meant to bear. And we bear nothing. We accomplish nothing. We just talk. Forgive us for this. And may these gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ penetrate deeply into our hearts. Let not your hearts be troubled. Keep on believing in me. I have a place prepared for you. I'm coming again. You will be with me. Look nowhere else. May those be the words now and forever as we live in this life and the afflictions and sorrows that encompass us, knowing that we have this hope for the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Well, we are swiftly moving into that passage of Scripture where we find extreme comfort that Jesus gives to his disciples. He's the one going to the cross and in need of comfort, yet he's turning around comforting us. What an amazing, tender, loving Father we serve. You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, I'd remind you that you can contact us at agradio.org. Also find other platforms there as well. Nice little jump-offs to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Again, available at agradio.org. You'll be able to tap into previous programs as well as find out where AG Radio is playing in your neck of the woods. Again, agradio.org. Or if you wish, use the phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. By the way, if you find the broadcast helpful, encouraging you in the Lord, maybe there's something that Pastor Chris has said today that really stuck in your mind, something that, like most of us, you'll actually use with somebody else in a day or two. We would love to hear from you. If you feel that this program is helpful to you, we would ask you to redirect some of your financial resources to fund Abounding Grace, as this is a listener-supported ministry, which means we're on this specific radio station simply because you've come alongside of us financially and, even more importantly, prayerfully, to make sure that this radio program continues right here on this station at this time. So consider that as you get a hold of us, again at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. And bear in mind that any financial resource you send our way is tax deductible. Well, let's catch up with Pastor Chris, shall we, as we look forward to our next broadcast here on Abounding Grace.
And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to my Father. Now, why in the world would Jesus say that? And it must have felt as strange to them when he said it as it feels to us reading it today, doesn't it? It's important to say that Jesus is directing their purpose, persistence in the purpose for which he left them. What is he talking about? What greater works could we do, or the disciples and the apostles particularly in this context, than Jesus? Well, Christ had been doing amazing works, hadn't he? Christ had really been doing amazing works. He had given sight to the blind. He had raised a man back in chapter 5. who had been lame for 38 years. Did you catch what he just said? You are going to do greater works than I did. What in the world are you talking about? Well, you ever read the book of Acts? They did. Jesus didn't get very far outside of Jerusalem in success with the gospel. They made it to the ends of the earth with the gospel in great success.
That's Monday. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.